Whatever you think and hold in consciousness as being so, out-manifests itself in your body or affairs. Consider for a while the truth that every thought you think, especially those relating in any way to self, hovers around in your mental atmosphere. These thoughts being about yourself receive the life that maintains them from the feeling that you put into them. The thoughts themselves are but mental forms. But when you think them with feelings of any kind, you fill these forms with life, and they become as living things. And if you only knew it, for all feeling expressed is life, is vital power. First know that it is all a matter of consciousness, and that you, yourself alone, are to blame for these conditions. For you alone created them and are firmly holding them in your consciousness. Until you can begin to study your mind and watch for and note these negative beliefs when they come, and you will find that they are actually beliefs and refuse them further support, there is not much hope for you. These thoughts exist to you only when you let them into your mind. This is also true of all negative, inharmonious, and destructive thoughts. There must be something in you that attracts them, or they would not come. Many will still permit them to come. For only by the suffering, hardship, and struggle to escape from their influence that you undergo will you learn how to free yourself and gain the power to control and consciously direct your life to constructive ends. You must train yourself to stand guard continually at the door of your mind and to let in no thoughts or feelings that you do not want to manifest. Think this over carefully and you will see that it is the only way. It may seem hard at first and you may not know what to admit and what to deny, but guard the door for every negative thought and feeling of whatsoever nature. In fact, such negative thoughts actually keep away the things you are longing to have manifest in your life, for like attracts like. Belief that you are a failure invites failure. You have sought help from the world of men, and it has turned you down. You have exhausted all the forces of self, and you admit that you are completely helpless. And perhaps you have even prayed to God, and seemingly He has not heard you, or He has not answered you. And you then drop back into the current of the old conditions, and if anything, becomes more helpless than you were before. And it should not be necessary to state that voicing such thoughts definitely and speedily outmanifests them, for the spoken word is far more potent than the thought. You can do it. You must do it. The way laid out for you in the beginning, can you not see that it is now the only way for you? It means that you must not let into your mind or believe any other thoughts, no matter what appearances are, or how much such thought beg for admittance. This means that from this moment you must pay no more attention to appearances, for what is now appearing is but the out-manifestation of what you formerly visualized in your thinking. Try to realize the great significance of this. It is not what you see as conditions surrounding you that really counts. It is what you believe is so. You will definitely begin to change your beliefs into those you want to manifest. For it is the only way you can change conditions and their appearances. You must remove from your consciousness the beliefs you are holding there by replacing them with beliefs you want to see manifested in your life and affairs. Build in your mind a picture, build it perfect in every detail, so that it stands out clear and distinct as a finished and accomplished fact. According to how complete and distinct is this picture in your mind, is it actually finished on the mental plane? The plane of concrete mental forms, which determines its physical appearance, and it is ready to come forth in the manifestation. And now if you will follow exactly the same process which brought into manifestation all the present unwanted conditions in your life, only using the opposite kind of thoughts and feelings, you can bring forth into perfect manifestation this picture now existing on the mental plane and awaiting the action of your will. Your own creation, the product of your own spirit, which you are nursing and bringing forth into physical being. Do not give up if your mind does not respond immediately, for it has formed the habit of wrong seeing and thinking, and you are a long time forming the present conditions. Just know that if you persist until your mind sees that you are determined and really mean it, it will soon fall in line and follow the new ways of thinking that you laid down for it as easily as it did the old ways in the past. The main thing is to remember always that you are dealing and working with mental substance on the mental plane and are not concerned with outer appearances and conditions. For you know that by such work, you are shaping and changing conditions to those you wish to manifest. Be positive. The first is the importance of always being positive in your thinking, positive in your speaking, and positive in your doing, and never negative. The negative person attracts all the negative things of life, all his ills, inharmonies, troubles that are in the mental atmosphere. If you understand the radio, you will know that when you set your dial at a certain wavelength, all that is in on the air of what wavelength will make itself heard. It is exactly the same with your mind. It will receive whatever happens to be on the air of the wavelength to which your thoughts are attuned. So that it is up to you and you only what your mind radio gives forth or out manifests. Why be negative? It is all an attitude of mind and can be changed simply by changing your belief. Those who are too mentally lazy to do such watching and controlling of their thoughts are usually the ones who will not accept their own thinking and beliefs create for them all the conditions now manifesting in their lives. But it makes no difference whether you accept it as being true or not. It is the law. The main trouble with almost everyone is that they do not realize how many negative and destructive beliefs they are carrying around with them in the subconscious realms of mind, and which creep through into the conscious mind whenever it is free from interest in other things. Now let us consider you first as a soul, a center of consciousness, and then we will try to show you the relation of your soul to your human mind and your higher spiritual self. You, in your integrity, are a soul and are pure consciousness. In other words, you are that which is conscious or aware of all that comes to you from without through the avenue of your five senses. Or through vibrations which they are not sensitive enough to perceive, such as impressions or thoughts from other centers of consciousness. All of these sensations are brought to your consciousness through the mediumship of your human mind. While the vibrations mentioned are received directly by the soul and are interpreted to the mind according to the mind as prepared to understand them. As a soul or consciousness, you are distinct from your human mind, for the mind serves merely as an instrument to receive and inform you of what comes from without into the world of matter. Yet your mind is in reality an outer extension of your soul consciousness, slowed down to the mental capacity of your human brain. This serving as your agent in informing you of all things going on in the physical world and the carrying out of your instructions pertaining to that world. When you get quiet and still your mind and shut out all thoughts and impressions coming from without, then you are in your pure soul consciousness and are free to be aware of the impressions coming from within your soul. For then you learn that deep within the soul there is a higher consciousness and a spiritual intelligence that presses the soul from within, informing you of spiritual things. And that higher or innermost consciousness is that of your higher or divine self. Everyone must come to that place. Every seeker of the true way of life. It is all a matter of trusting, dear friend, of trusting the God within you. If you have failed in the past, no matter how hard you try, it is because you did not trust enough. Instead of faith and trust, you still let fears, doubts, and worries into your mind. Then, of course, there they cause you to build negative pictures of the things you are fearing, and you proceed to entertain and feed them by furthering fears, until they become actual living things in your mental world. In time, they largely control your mind, and you are helpless. And naturally, every time you succumb to them, you grow more helpless. Wash your hands of it. Step out from under. Think, can you do that? Try it. Talk to this God within, the real self of you, and tell him that you are through, that you have done your best, and that is all you can do, and it was useless. And now it is up to him. He will have to handle it, actually mean it, and then let go, and truly wash your hands of all responsibility. Then you will have to cleanse your mind of all negative things, of every doubt, fear, of worry, and especially of those wrong pictures you are carrying around in your consciousness. There is no longer a negative force attracting you all fears, doubts, and worries. An absolute letting go. Do you still see yourself as sick or alien or poor or very much needing anything? Then can you not realize it is that picture which is clogging up the channel for what you think and carry around in consciousness as being so always out-manifests itself? How can the good you wish to manifest get by that picture? That is the whole trouble, dear friend. You have not cleansed your mind of those old picture beliefs. Some of which are hiding down in the dark corners of your subconsciousness, purposely refusing to come out into the light. For they know the moment you see them for what they are, their days are numbered. In fact, you must go down into the subconsciousness and dig out all such and cast them forth. You can do this if you will. You can find good anywhere if you truly look for it. For with such a desire in your heart, you connect up with the good, which will illumine your mind and enable you to see with your spiritual eyes and to hear with your spiritual ears what is hidden from mortal consciousness. to you who through long years and much running to and fro have been eagerly seeking in books and teaching and philosophy and religion. To you who many times have obtained a glimpse of that truth only to find when you followed and tried to reach it that it disappeared in the beyond and was but the mirage of the desert. To you who thought you had found it in some great teacher and who appeared to you to be a master. So marvelous was the wisdom he taught and the works he performed, only to awaken later to the realization that the master was but a human personality with faults and weaknesses and secret sins, the same as you, even though that personality may have been a channel through which were voiced many beautiful teachings which seemed to be the highest truth. And here you are, soul aweary and hungered and not knowing where to turn. To you, I am come. I, who am I? I, who speak with such seeming knowledge and authority, listen. I am you. That part of you who is and knows, who knows all things and always knew and always was. Yes, I am you, yourself, that part of you which says I am and is I am. I am you, that transcendent innermost part of you which responds to this my word, which perceives its truth, which recognizes all truth and discards all error wherever found, not that part which has been feeding on error all these years. For I am your real teacher, the only real one you will ever know, and the only master. I, your divine self, I and I alone, your own true self, am the teacher for you. Therefore, that which appeals to you is my message, spoken to your outer human consciousness from within, and is but a confirmation of that which the I am of you always knew within, but had not yet translated into definite, tangible terms to your outer consciousness. Likewise, all that ever appealed to you, coming from some outward expression, was but the confirmation of my word already spoken within. The outward expression was the avenue of means I chose at that time through which to reach and impress your human or self-consciousness. I am not your human mind, nor its child, the intellect. They are but the expression of your being. They are but phases of your human personality. Rise up and free yourself now and for always from the domination of your personality with its self-inflated and self-glorifying mind and intellect. For your mind henceforth must be your servant and the intellect your slave. Now, if you are strong enough to bear it, if you can put aside all of your private, personal fancies, beliefs, and opinions, which are but the rubbish you have gathered from the dumping grounds of others, if you are strong enough to cast them all away, then my word will be to you a source of endless joy and blessing. I am you. I have been with you always, but you did not know it. I have purposely led you through the wilderness of books and teaching, of religion and philosophies, keeping ever before your soul's eye the vision of the promised land. Now, in order that you may learn to know me, so that you can be sure it is I, your own true self, who speak these words, you must first learn to be still, to quiet your human mind and body and all their activities so that you are no longer conscious of them. Try to imagine the I who speaks throughout these pages as being your higher or divine self, addressing and counseling your human mind and intellect, which you will consider for the moment as being a separate personality. Your human mind is so constituted that it cannot accept anything which does not confirm with what it has previously experienced or learned, and which its intellect does not consider reasonable. Therefore, in addressing it, you are using such terms and expressions as will most clearly explain to your intellect the truth it must understand before the mind can awake into the consciousness of your meaning. The fact is, this I is yourself, your real self. Your human mind has heretofore been so engrossed with the task of supplying its intellect and body with all manner of selfish indulgences that it has never had time to get acquainted with the real you, its true Lord and Master. You have been so interested in and affected by the pleasure and suffering of your body and intellect that you have almost come to believe you are your intellect and body. And you have consequently nearly forgotten me, your divine self. I am not your intellect and body, and this message is to teach you that you and I are one. You cannot awaken to this fact until you can get away from the consciousness of the body and the intellect, which so long have held you enslaved. You must feel me within before you can know I am there. Without thinking, allow this, my divine command, to penetrate deep into your soul. Let whatever impressions that come to your mind enter at will, without effort or interference on your part. Note carefully their import, for it is I within, through these impressions, instructing you. Speak these my words slowly, imperatively, to every cell of your body, to every faculty of your mind, with all the conscious power you possess. Be still and know I am God. Speak them just as they are here and written, trying to realize that the God of you commands and demands of your mortal self implicit obedience. Study them. Search out their hidden potency. Brood over them. Carry them with you into your work, whatever it be. Make them the vital, dominating factor in your work, in all your creative thoughts. Say them 1,000 times a day until you have discovered all my innermost meaning, until every cell of your body thrills in joyful response to the command, be still, and instantly obeys. I am you. That part of you who is and knows, who knows all things and always knew and always was. Yes, I am you, yourself. That part of you which says I am and is I am. I have been within always, deep within your heart. I have been with you through all, through your joys and heartaches, your successes and mistakes. I, whether you went straight ahead or straight aside or stepped backward, it was I who brought you through. And if you can see it, it is I who do all things that you do. For I am life. I am the innermost, the spirit, the animating cause of your being, of all life, of all living things, both visible and invisible. There is nothing dead, for I, the impersonal one, am all that there is. In the heart of the human, in the heart of the animal, in the heart of the flower, in the heart of the stone, in the heart of each, I live and move and have my being. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that is not a part of me, controlled and ruled eternally by me, the one infinite reality. Yes, I know the many mixed thoughts that have been crowded into your mind as you read, the doubts and eager questioning, the vague fear that imperceptibly changed into a growing hope that this glimmering of my meaning, which has begun to penetrate the darkness of your human intellect, may shine brighter so you can see clearly the truth which you instinctively feel is hidden beneath my words. Again I say, this I am speaking herein is the real self of you. And in reading these words, it is necessary that you realize it is you, your own self, that is speaking them to your human consciousness in order fully to comprehend their meaning. This is the same I am that is the life and spirit animating all living things in the universe, from the tiniest atom to the greatest sun, that this I am is the intelligence in you. I am you, the real self of you, all that you really are. That which you think you are, that is only an illusion, a shadow of the real you, which is I, your immortal divine self. I am that point of consciousness localized in your human mind which calls itself I. I am that I, but that which you call your consciousness is in reality my consciousness, thinned down to suit the capacity of your human mind. Yes, I sit here within, quietly waiting for this. Yet while waiting, it was really I who directed all your ways, who inspired all your thoughts and acts. Knowing that will come in time. We'll be right back. What happens when your consciousness no longer controls the cells of your body? The body disintegrates, the cells separate, and their work for the time being is finished. But do the cells die or lose consciousness? No. They simply sleep or rest for a period, and after a while unite with other cells and form new combinations, and sooner or later appear in other manifestations of life. The consciousness of all matter, of all substance. If you can see it, you, the real you, the impersonal you, are in all and are one with all, are in me and are one with me, just as I am in you and in all. Just as fast as you awaken a recognition of a certain power or faculty within you and begin consciously to use it, do I allow you that much more of my infinite power, which I supply to suit your capacity to use it? Were I to entrust you with the full power of my will, before you know how consciously to use it, it would annihilate your body utterly. All this may be difficult for you now to accept, and you may protest very strenuously that it cannot be, that every instinct of your nature rebels against such yielding and subordinating yourself to an unseen and unknown power, however impersonal or divine. Fear not. It is only your personality that thus rebels. I am you. To test your strength and more often to show you what the misuse of my power does to you, I at times allow you to make a mistake. Always, I am there to pick you up after the fall, although you do not know it at the time. You have been told that each cell of your body has a consciousness and an intelligence of its own, that were it not for the consciousness, it could not do the work it so intelligently does. Each cell is surrounded by millions of other cells, each intelligently doing its own work, and each evidently controlled by the united consciousness of all these cells. Do the cells of your body, the muscles of your arm, think to set themselves up as having a separate will from your will, or a separate intelligence from your intelligence? No, they know no intelligence but yours, no will but yours. it is really I who caused your personality thus to rebel. For your personality, with its proud sense of individuality, is still needed by me to develop a mind and body strong enough that they can perfectly express me. Until you become prepared to know me, it is but natural for your personality thus to question and rebel. Once you recognize my authority, that moment the undermining of the authority of the personality has begun. The days of its dominion are numbered, and you will more and more turn to me for help and guidance. I am you. I am you, that part of you which says I am and is I am. I, your divine self. Forget all that has gone before. That which is past is dead. Why burden your soul with dead things? Just to the extent you hold to things that are past, do you still live in the past? Just to the extent you attach yourself to past acts or experience, religions or teaching, do they cloud your soul vision, hiding me from you? They will ever prevent you finding me until you free yourself of their darkening influence and step within, into the light of my impersonal consciousness, which recognizes no limitations and penetrates to the infinite reality of all things. Likewise, the future concerns you not. He who looks to the future for his final perfection is chained to the past and can never get free. You, who are one with me, are perfect now, and always were perfect. You, the perfect, have not to do with that which has been and what is to be. You care not for anything but the eternal now. That only concerns you, which immediately confronts you. What have you, the perfect, the eternal, to do with past or future incarnations? Can the perfect add to its perfection, or the eternal come out of or return to eternity? I am, and you are, one with me, and always have been, and always will be. For it is only the personality that is born and dies, and which seeks and strives to prolong its stay in the body and in earth life. It is only when you can rise up in the realization of your divine immortality, omnipotence, and intelligence, and can cast off all personal beliefs and opinions, that you can free your soul from this perverted relation and can assure your true position as master and king. You have within you all possibilities. Your body, your personality, your character, your environment, your world are what they appear to be to you because you have thought them into their present status. Therefore, you can change them by the same process if they do not please you. You can make them whatever you will by thinking them so. First, know that I, your real self, purposely brought to your attention these things which now are displeasing and which cause you to think them as being what they now seem to be to you. I will open your eyes and cause you to see that the only way you can ever bring about this change in thinking is by first changing your attitude toward all these things you now think are not what they ought to be. For who is the master? Your body, your mind, or you, the I am within? Then why not show you our master by thinking the true things the I am of you within wishes you to think? It is only by your thinking these other things, by allowing these inharmonious thoughts to enter your mind, and by so doing giving them the power so to affect or disturb you, that they have any such influence over you. When you stop thinking into them this power and turn within to me and allow me to direct your thinking, they will at once disappear from your consciousness and dissolve into the nothingness from which you created them by your thinking. When you are willing to do this, then and then only are you ready to receive truth, and by proper conscious thinking, to create the true and permanent things I within wish you to create. Then, when you can thus distinguish the true from the false, the real from the seeming, your conscious thinking will be as potent to create all things as you desire, as has been your unconsciousness thinking in the past in creating those things you once desired but now find obnoxious. For it was by your unconscious thinking, or thinking unconscious of the control your desires exercised over your creative power, that your world and your life are now what you sometime in the past desired them to be. There is always first the idea, not considering at this moment the necessity or occasion for its appearance. It matters not whence the idea comes. This takes place, however, up to this point, without any volition on your part, other than focusing or concentrating your attention upon the idea. Once I have given your human mind a view of its possibilities and have enlisted your interest, then does your human personality take up its task. For as I created and inspired the idea in your mind, so did I cause that idea to fructify therein and give birth to desire. We have then first the idea in the mind, then the desire to bring the idea into outer manifestation. In accordance with the definiteness with which the picture of the idea is held in the mind, and the extent to which the idea possesses the personality, does its creative power, impelled by desire, proceed with its work. The idea actually comes forth into definite, tangible manifestation. Listen, you have now and always have had, through this power of thinking, dominion over all the kingdoms of the earth, if you but know it. But it is first wholly necessary that you learn how to think, how to know your thoughts, how to trace thoughts back to their source and to banish undesirable ones at will from your consciousness. And finally, how to control and utilize your desires so they will always serve you instead of your being a slave to them. You have within you all possibility.